This week in the cellar, Steve Warner is here.
Woohoo!
And I got my thumb pick with me.
It's going to be great, dude. Songs from the cellar, and go. Welcome to Songs from the Cellar. Today, one of my favorites, seriously, one of my favorites ever, Steve Warner is here today.
Oh, thanks, Phil.
I love Steve. I mean, he's not just the nicest guy, but probably one of the most talented guys I've ever met.
Oh, man. I'm glad to be in the cellar today.
This is awesome, man.
This is really great.
This is pretty good,
I've been
man.
Looking forward to it.
You know, we've known each other a long time, and I tell you, yes, I was thinking back to some of the days. We were talking about, I think the first time I ever met you was at Fanfare. An old fanfare.
Old fanfare.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have the MCA parties back in MCA and the Arista parties and I guess Capitol back then.
Yeah, it was so fun those days. You know, and I liked it when they had it at the old fairground.
Yeah.
I'm so old, I remember they had it at the Municipal Auditorium first.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
I was a kid. My very first fanfare, I went down and my label, RCA, the heads, they said, no, I said, my record's not even out. Why do I, they won't even know who I am. So I get down there, and they put me in the booth with Charlie Pride, who was like
the biggest
Elvis
star in the world
at that time. And he had about 5,000 people in line, and I had like one little lady walked up and said, is your name Steve? And I go, yes, ma'am, it is. And she goes, will you get Charlie to sign this for me?
I swear, man.
I go, oh, give it.
They're the best. They're the best stories. It's like humbling. There used to be the fairgrounds, and every label would have its own night.
Yep.
And it was, I mean, it was epic. It was epic.
Fantastic.
I remember before I even got a record deal, I had friends, of course, that worked at Arista and all these record labels. And that was it. If you could score one of those backstage.
You could get in on those. Oh. Oh, yeah. You could see some good stuff.
I mean, it's a good thing they didn't have cell phones back then.
I know it.
I mean, you've been here since what year did you get here in 10 years?
Well, I came. Man, I'm an old guy.
I came here
when I was 17, but I came here with Dottie West. I was 17 years old. The Grand Ole Opry was still at the Ryman when I played it.
You know, isn't that crazy?
You know, my first Opry shows with her was, I was 17 years old playing bass. She needed a bass player. I was a guitar player, but I go, yeah, I play bass. I play bass. Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, she was great, too.
She was awesome. She taught me a lot about songwriting. I can tell you that much.
And Gatlin, too. I mean, Larry.
Yeah, I met Larry the first trip with her, my first trip out. Larry was still in Texas, the brothers. They were still out. We stopped in Amarillo on my first gig, by the way, in a bus to Reno, Nevada. There's a first bus ride. There's some getting broken in. And
it's
2 week
agent.
Gig.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
That's good. Yeah, we'll go over there. Yeah, Boston to see. Yeah, we can make Seattle in 2 days. Yeah,
but she was talking about this young rider that she just signed. His name was Larry Gatlin.
Yeah.
We're going to stop and pick them up in Amarillo on the way to Reno. And boy, I learned, that's when I first met Larry, 1973.
God almighty, man. That's so crazy.
So I was a kid.
And Chet Atkins, too. I mean,
yeah,
Chet was
working with Chet.
Chet was, you know, a big, huge fan of yours. And I used to go to that convention every year.
I went last year. I went.
It's the best time ever, just seeing him and he tell his stories.
Fired me. You know, he fired me once, and I was playing bass for him. I actually started, he was producing my records, and then I started playing bass touring with him later, but we made records first, and when I had my first hit record, a song that Tom Collins was producing me, and I was still touring with Chet playing bass, and Tom Collins was wonderful. He cut a great record on me called Your Memory. It was my first top 10 hit.
That's right. I remember
And Chet calls me into the office, and he goes, man, you got your first top 10. I go, yes, sir. And he goes, well, that's great. You're fired, man. You know?
What?
I go, what?
Really?
He fired me. He goes, yeah, you need to get out and get on your own. You know, go on, get out.
That's pretty good.
I left like, damn.
That was a good fire.
I got fired by Chet Atkins.
You get fired by Chet, that's pretty good firing.
And we remained friends all the way to the end. He died in June 30th, 2001. And we were friends. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Because you've worked with all the guys, same guy. You know, Tim Dubois signed me, of course.
Yeah,
you
did.
Joe,
yeah.
I work with Joe
Loved
at RCA.
Him, and Joe. And
you were at MCA with Tony.
Yeah, Tony Brown. And Yeah, lucky to some of the folks we got to work with. I mean, you know, Chet Atkins and you know, that. I remember my first sessions watching Chet. You know, I was a kid, and he'd walk into the studio with a suit and tie on, and everybody'd gather around him like it was a like it was a laboratory almost. You know, they were like Pied Piper following him. It was something to behold. My first stuff I did with him was at Studio B.
Oh, right on.
We cut. I only cut one thing at Studio B, but then everything else was at RCAA. But
yeah,
really cool to be in RCA Studio B cutting stuff. You know, thinking back on that.
Legendary, man.
Oh my gosh, it was so with Chet. You know, and he says, "Play me something of mine." I hear you're a guitar player. On the talk back, he goes, "Play me one of my songs." And I'm like, "Holy!"
Did he really?
Yeah. I want to hear you play guitar. Play one of my songs. Like, oh, no, he's not going to make me play.
How would you like that? That's
and
not
I think I played Windy and Warm. I think I went.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, my God. I mean, people don't understand the impact Chet had on Nashville, the Nashville sound.
Yeah. I mean, he and Owen Bradley.
He and Owen made this town.
The architects, weren't they, Phil?
They really were, man.
I was with Chet playing, and we were in Anchorage. I've told this story, but we were playing a show in Anchorage, and I remember I was playing my little bass. I was over, boom, 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 boom. And he says, Tony Migliore on the piano, and Tony was playing this killer.
Right.
Man, just Tony. Killing it. And then, so I see Chet coming toward me, and he goes, I go, what's he coming? He never did this in the show here ever. And I go, he's coming over here for some reason. And Chet walks over, and he whispers, and to me, I'm the only person on the planet that heard this. He says, has anyone ever told you you're the world's greatest bass player? And I'm going, boom, boom. I go, no. I whisper in his ear, and I go, no. And he goes, have you ever wondered why?
He had a sense of humor,
too.
Oh,
yeah, he
did. And you thought he'd be so, you know, because he always had that air about him, but he...
Yeah, he had a sharp sense of humor, you know.
And you know Garth, too, a long time. You and Garth...
Garth, when I go way back, we played shows together out in Texas and Oklahoma. He was right out of college opening shows for us, and we would hang out. I remember we played Tarleton University once. And Garth was just getting ready to be Garth.
You know, right.
He was killer then, but he was opening for us a lot. And we were playing Tarleton University in Stephenville, Texas. And I was in the locker room with my shirt off, getting all ready to go do my big show. And I hear my road manager came in. I go, is it storming and lightning? What is it, storm outside? I'm hearing all this noise. And he goes, oh, no, it's great weather outside. That's Garth, the opening act, Garth Brooks. He's killing them. I went, uh-oh. Garth has been a dear friend for a long time. What a sweet, sweet guy. And one of my best friends. Yeah, the musicians.
The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so I'm a big shot.
You are one of them guys.
But I called Garth reluctantly. I thought, well, is he? He's busy. He's doing.
Yeah.
He's so
busy. Not too
busy
for
and
you,
he goes,
buddy.
He goes, I'll be there.
Yeah. So you got your own guitar, too, this new Gretsch, man.
Yeah,
this
we have
great.
A new Gretsch guitar that came out. I've known the Gretsch people from way back with Chet days. You know, I met the old Mr. Gretsch, you know, Fred Gretsch with Chet. And Fred Gretsch, his nephew now, is a wonderful friend, him and Dinah. We have our own model. It's called the Steve Warner Nashville Gentleman.
Dude.
I know, right?
You're a gentleman. You always were a gentleman. I like that. You got to play something cool. Play that little. Oh. You were just jamming on something fun.
I was doing 48.
I love it.
You
want
to hear?
Yes.
I went out to Jim Rushing's house one morning to
I
write.
Love Jim.
He's the professor.
What a
and there was
writer.
An old 48 Ford pickup truck sitting there when I pulled up, and I just flipped over this old beat up, and I go, what? He walked out, and I sat my guitar down. I was walking around this truck, and he said, I go, what's the story on this truck? It wasn't here before last time I rode here. He goes, that was my Uncle Bill's. He just passed away in New Mexico. And he said, I got his truck. And I was kind of his only son, really. I was like their son. And he was emotional talking about it. And then we walked in the house, and I kept going like, what engine is in that truck? And he goes, let's write a song. And I go, yeah, but what's in that? I kept talking about that truck. He goes, oh, hell, let's write about that truck. So we wrote...
Love it.
got a window busted, scraped and rusted, but it's beautiful to me. And with its flathead roar, those running boards saw miles of history. I see the gun rack and hear the crack of my old pump 22. They kept all the rabbits running from Post to Idaloo. One afternoon in the middle of June, we were picnicking at the lake. We were watching a couple of teenage boys tempt the hands of fate. When one went down, Daddy quickly found his rope inside the door. That boy got a second chance at life in the bed of our 48 Ford. Now when the Sunday morning sun came up, that pickup truck would roll. Mama said that that old preacher's words was medicine for our soul. I was with my dad when he got it. Now he's gone to his reward. But he left 2 tons of memories in the shape of a 48 Ford.
Nice, man.
I'd seen some years when we got it. Now it's a silent old antique. But all those pictures come to life when I'm sitting in that seat. I remember well my first kiss behind the hardware store. As a young man, I was shifting gears in the cab of that 48 Ford. Yeah, I was. And when the Sunday morning sun came up, that pickup truck would roll. Mama said that that old preacher's words was medicine for our soul. I was with my dad when he got it. Now he's gone to his reward. But he left 2 tons of memories in the shape of a 48 Ford.
Love it, man. Talking about, you know, writing with Merle Haggard and you know, of course, Merle's one of our heroes and was always so good to us. Yeah. I mean, Tim, you got the, I never got to write.
I only wrote with Merle once. Wrote the one song with him, and it kind of came about crazy. My managers called one day and they said, you want to do the USS Norway? Do you want to go do a cruise to Caribbean? And we'd done it 4 or 5 times. And
really?
I go, I don't know. And he goes, well, Merle Haggard's going to be the headliner. And I go, yeah, I think we can do it.
We can do that.
Yeah, I think we can probably do it. Because, you know, I'm like you say, Phil, Merle's all of our heroes. Yeah. He's everybody's hero,
yeah,
you know.
He is. He was so good, man.
So we got to, long story on it, sure, we got to hanging out and talking a little bit. And Merle, he invited me to come down and be a stranger for a day. Mark Colley, too, me and Mark.
Oh, fun,
Mark was
man.
On there, and we went down and were strangers. We sat in and played with him, sound checking and stuff. Well, that night, Merle said, why don't you and your wife, Karen, come down? Teresa and I, we're going to have a little sip of wine and hang out. Why don't you guys come down, you know? And so we go down. I go, heck yeah, I'm there. So I go down, and Merle's guitar's there. And so Merle says, well, play us something, man. And so I pick it up, and he goes, do me something that you've written lately. And so I just had, this is not me bragging, it's me just saying, at the time there was a song that I'd written with Bill Anderson that was a hit for Brian White. It was called One Small Miracle.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian killed it. It was a really good record. So I played that, and Merle said, ooh, I like that. He goes, do something else. You got, what are you working on? And I said, well, I got something that I got started. I don't know where to take it, and I was hoping, I'm going like, please say, do it for me. And he goes, well, why don't you do it for me? And I went, oh. And then I played it, and I thought, what's he going to say? And I played it, and he goes, I like that. He goes, you don't have a rest of it? And I go, no, I don't know where to, I had like half of it. And he goes, well, play it for me again. I went, I'm writing a song with Merle Haggard here. You
dude.
Know? And so I grabbed some paper and pencil, and we wrote it, and I cut it. I kind of put it on a shelf, didn't do much with it. I sent it to him, and he liked it when I did a little demo. But then I was doing a record when he died. I was doing a new record all over the map, and so I thought, well, I'm going to do this. I need to do it because Merle passed. And so anyway, I'll do it for you.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah,
I'd love it.
It's called When I Still Mattered to You.
This is in T.
We were so young, crazy. Universe was ours. We had it all, you and me. favorite place of all was in each other's arms. Yeah, those were the days when you were my girl, the love of my life, you were my whole world. That was when I still mattered. But somebody else matters to you now. Maybe I can't have you, but I still need you anyhow. And all I have left are these memories of love we once knew. And I still matter to you.
Oh, yeah. I like that chord.
What we had together, Lord, I thought it was real. Now this broken heart of mine, Lord, it just won't heal. You moved on with your new life. I wish I could too. I remember when Merle said that line, I about fell over.
Oh, love it, man.
I remember when you knew that you still mattered to me. You said you'd stay here, where you still ought to be. That was when I still matter to you. But somebody else matters to you now. Maybe I can't have you, but I still need you anyhow. And all I have left are these memories of love we once knew, when I still matter to you. No tag.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Man, I would have given anything just to write a song with him. I mean, that's awesome. All right, let's just rip into something. Here we go.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to play this room.
They call me the breeze. Keep blowing down the road. Yeah, they call me the breeze. I keep blowing down the road. I ain't got me nobody. I don't carry me no load.
All right. Say what you thought you
were. Ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no changes in me. Ain't no change in the weather. Ain't no changes in me. Well, I ain't high. Nobody's hiding from me.
Except Steve Warner. Here we go, baby. Here we go.
Keep going, keep going.
keep on moving on.
Cellar with Steve Warner today.